This is CIOI, Hamilton's home for alternative. Indy 101.5 FM.
Hello, welcome to Hot Shots on Air. I'm Sarah Jessica, and if you've never tuned in before, welcome, and thank you so much. I'm a local music journalist, and every Tuesday at 7 p.m., I interview local artists from Toronto, Hamilton, GTHA, all of that. And yeah, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Tonight, I am hanging out with Kay Triggs, or Kevin Williamson. He's a Hamilton-based hip-hop artist, arts supporter, creator of 905 Fest, and host of Throwback Thursdays at Sankofa Dining. You can find Kay Triggs on socials under KTriggs905 and on all streaming services as Kay Triggs. So, hey, Kevin.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Sarah. It's great to speak with you, you know, as always. I really appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah, anytime. I mean, you're a fantastic guest, so.
Thank you. You know, and, you know, it's been a few years, you know, since we first connected. And so, like, you know, I got to say how grateful I am for, you know, always getting the opportunity to come on here and, you know, plug the things I'm doing and talk about it. And it was really great to finally meet you at 905 Fest this past year.
Yeah, that was super sweet. And yeah, I mean, you know, this is what I do, why I do what I do. You know, I love talking to people and supporting local art. So yeah, and you create a lot of it. So
I try. And that's what I was, you know, I reached out to you today to get on the station to speak about the Throwback Thursday we're doing at Sankofa Dining, mm-hmm. which is on downtown Hamilton at 92 Jackson Street East, if you've never been there.
I haven't actually, but I should stop by now that you're doing those.
Yeah, we started this at the beginning of the month. So mm-hmm. our first Thursday was a Throwback Thursday. We have music with DJ Shan, who's a very popular DJ here in the city, and DJ Grind Abrasion, who is another DJ I work with very often. He's been a part of many of my events in the past, from 905 Fest to the Underground Vibe Show. So shouts out to DJ Grind Abrasion. You know, and we're in partnership with a great designer and media gentleman, Brody at Because Design Matters. He mm-hmm. handles all of our graphic design, our posters, our flyers, you know, so got to give a big shout out to Brody as well. You know, without the team, none of this is possible. And, you know, that's the big thing of what I've been working on the last few years is, you know, with my festival and with the other events I've been doing, it's taught me to bring people into the fold like Brody and Grind Abrasion.
Totally. Yeah. You've got the dream team right there.
Yeah, actually, that's funny because you say it's the dream team and we have our own little group chat on Instagram that we call the dream team. It's our own little inside joke because I had spoken with the owner at Sankofa Dining and we had created this idea to make a weekly ritual for people, you know, because there's not really anything like that so big in Hamilton anymore. Like mm-hmm. Absinthe has their Motown Wednesdays, you know what I mean? And there's a couple other places that have some weekly events. But I wanted to bring something that kind of bridges that hip hop gap, but also gives people the opportunity to come out and kind of party and enjoy themselves since we're moving out of, you know, the pandemic sort of, and restrictions are getting lifted now. So I want people to come and hang out. And I think that this type of event is very needed for the city. Like last week we had an open mic for our Throwback Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it went pretty well. It wasn't a super large show out or anything, but we had some talented individuals come out and jump on the microphone and freestyle, you know, and I did some freestyling as well.
Beautiful. That's so exciting.
Oh yeah. It's always a good time. And, you know, we had the DJs scratching up and spinning up some beats for us. And it was enjoyable. You know, if you come down to Sankofa Dining, we don't only have the music, but there's some great food. You know, there's a dining room from 5 to 10 PM. You come down, you can get wings for a dollar with the purchase of an alcoholic beverage. Mm. So that's a really good deal. You get $1 per wing. So for like a pound, it's like $9.99. You know, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, totally. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening who is unfamiliar with you and your music, just as like some introductory questions, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Yeah, yes. For my sound and style, I would say I'm more of like an old school artist. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do a lot of the MCing for these kind of hip hop events, because it allows me to do a lot of kind of call and response with the crowd, get people energized and motivated. And that's, you know, kind of what I'm doing with Sankofa Dining in these weekly Throwback Thursdays. I'm also going to be the host for these events, so people can come out, they can interact with me, you know, we can hang out, and we can all enjoy that atmosphere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
Yeah, definitely. Musically wise, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of old school hip hop, mm-hmm. like, you know, Tribe Called Quest and Tupac and, you know, yeah. Andre 3000. But then, like, I gravitated towards more Eminem when I got a little older. And, like, I do listen to some J. Cole. So, you know, I definitely, and, like, Nas, Jay-Z, guys like that. So I definitely find conscious, you know, lyrical rap to very much be my cornerstone and, like, what really has kind of spoke to me over the years. But I listen to all sorts of music, too. It's not just hip-hop that influences me, you know. Like, I listen to a lot of blues music growing up, like, you know, Muddy Waters and B.B. King, and that kind of soulful rhythm and, you know, the lyrics that come with that really speaks to me too. So I think that also ties into the type of songs I make, with a lot of guitar incorporation and those type of beats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. What do you feel as though you take from your biggest musical influences? Would you say, like, you know, their rapping style? Would you say the music itself? Or would you say maybe, like, their stage presence? What would you say?
I think what it is the type of stage presence that I have, because, you know, I'm a recording artist, but where I really separate from most artists is where I perform on stage. You know, I love to get the crowd involved, and I love to use my energy to my advantage. And that is very reminiscent of old school type rap, like, you know, Ice Cube, Eazy-E, you know, that kind of hip hop, you know, where its roots come from. And I think that that's where, like, you know, I started off battle rapping and doing freestyle rapping when I was a kid, like in the cafeteria or, you know, outside with my friends. And that requires a sort of confidence, you know, to be able to do versus just getting in the booth and, like, recording. You know, and actually recording is something I've had to work on twice as much as, you know, performing. It's like that performing has always kind of come naturally to me. Mm-hmm. Whereas being a recording artist is a lot more rigid, and there's a lot more routine to it. You know, like, I don't play an instrument. So when I get in the recording studio, you know, my voice is my instrument. So sometimes, you know, if you've had a long night, maybe you've had a rough day, maybe you haven't gotten the right sleep, you know, your voice isn't totally there sometimes, and you gotta try again. You know, and some days it's better than others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, totally. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid? Like what music you grew up with, what your family listened to? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
I think so. Like, like I grew up hearing my mom play, like, you know, Ice Cube and Eazy-E, like Cameron, like that type of 2000s, Lil Wayne, you know, and then like the R&B, you know, the Fugees, you know, Lauryn Hill, even, you know, all that kind of classic, you know, Ashanti, Fat Joe, all those type of classic music songs, all those type of old school hip hop songs, and like with the mix of R&B in there too. So, you know, there was a little bit of everything, especially in that era. So I was kind of exposed to it all, but really the old school hip hop is what I really resonated with. Like, you know, even hearing guys like 50 Cent back in the day when I was a kid growing up, or Eminem, they kind of paved the way for the new school after the old school, kind of like Snoop Dogg, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, Dr. Dre, like after all those guys kind of stopped being the main idols in the industry. You know, when I was really young, that's who was really popular. And then when I got a little older, so like when I'm like 10 to 12, that's when 50 Cent, guys like Eminem were really popular. So that's what I was listening to. But I think the influence from a young age of hip hop is why I grew up listening to hip hop still, and like R&B, rather than, you know, just listening to my type of music that I like. Like, I also like blues music, you know, big fan of like Frank Sinatra and, you know, the Rat Pack, Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, you know, that kind of music too, I always really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember, I find that when I interview musicians, they always sort of have like a time in their life where music really made us like a huge impact. And that's when they decided they wanted to create for themselves. So my question is like, do you remember the first time that you listened to a piece of music, whether that was like an album or a single, and thought, wow, I wish I made that?
Yeah, it's actually funny because I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Eminem. So like, I used to do like emceeing for talent shows at school. Mm-hmm. And they used to let me like rap during the talent shows. But I remember like before that, I used to listen to Eminem a lot. One of the songs that I really loved to listen to is Till I Collapse by like, it's him and Nate Dogg. And I just like the concept of the song is basically like, you know, till I collapse, I'm going to be doing this. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the, like, I like almost like, it's like, I'm going to do this whether or not, like, until I basically fall on my face and can't get up anymore, which is kind of the whole point of, like, determination and work ethic that, like, separates some artists from others, right? Talent is one thing, but you can't teach, you know, you can't teach the work ethic. And I've always thought that was so great about the song. And I remember when I was a kid, that was one of the first songs I started, like, rapping to, trying to, like, make my own kind of song to. Like, because I wasn't really making my own beats or anything back then, and I didn't really have, like, my own producer or anything, so I just was, like, writing, and I kept writing this same beat, and I was like, oh, okay, I gotta, like, figure out how to, like, change it. But that's when I really realized that I could, write stuff that was actually conscious, and I could actually tell stories with my music, because I spoke about my experiences in life, and the kind of things that I had went through, and as I got a little older, I realized that this is something that I've always kind of been like gravitated towards and dedicated towards, like performing and being on stage and being an entertainer more than anything. Mm-hmm. And then being a songwriter is just another aspect of my creativity, I guess, and how I express myself. But I've always been like an entertaining person. I've always tried to be like the entertainer in the room, from being like the MC at talent shows to even when I was like 6 years old, I was the ringmaster at our school's kindergarten presentation of the circus. Mm-hmm. And the ringmaster is like the MC of the circus, right?
Yeah.
Totally. Which is kind of, that's why I made that one song, Born to Be, because I feel like no matter how old I got, I always felt like I'm still like an entertainer at heart, you mm-hmm. know, and I get people's attention. And that's why like I've been doing this promoting event, because it's a great opportunity for me to entertain people in a different way, you know, because I've done so many underground vibes events. I've done festivals now. And it's like, you know, people are kind of going to get sick of coming to the K-Trix hip hop event or the K-Trix festival or the K-Trix this, you know, I got to figure out ways to kind of bridge into doing different things that allow me to entertain people and allow them to be exposed to what I'm all about. And, you know, the community over competition angle that I try to bring and the positivity that I try to bring, but without having to push and sell my, you know, this is a K-Trix show. Cause how many times are you going to want to go to a K-Trix show, right? Mm-hmm. Eventually you're going to get sick of like me selling you the same show 100 times.
Yeah, totally. Do you remember when you first started rapping?
Yeah. Like, I would say, like, I actually started, like, rapping in, like, elementary school. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, like, doing, like, freestyling and stuff like that with my friends. And that's kind of how I got started. But, like, I was always, like, writing songs before that. I started writing when I was, like, probably 10 or 11, writing, like, songs and poems and things like that. But I didn't actually start rapping until, like, probably 12 or 13, while I was, like, outside of my school or in my cafeteria with my friends, and we were just kind of freestyling, and then like we would do like battles and things like that, and like we even had like a school rap battle and some other things like mm-hmm. we organized, but that was in high school. And then elementary school, you know, I was always the MC for the talent show, so that was kind of an opportunity for me to rap too. But I had always been a writer at heart, and I was always writing and like creating stories and stuff like that, which is kind of really what pushed me into making actual recorded music. You know, because I felt like the idea of speaking the truth or through your experience is what really motivated me to make these events and do these kind of things. And that's why I use music as a medium, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of like a motivational tool, but it's also a representation of like freedom of speech and my brand and what I'm all about mm-hmm. as an individual and as an artist, because mm-hmm. it kind of goes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, were you confident from the get-go, or did that take a bit to start?
I think like I was I was maybe not confident, but competent.
Okay.
I felt like I could do this, and I felt like there was a lot of people like maybe underestimating me. I thought like I couldn't, but I always kind of looked at it like, you know, I have an there's an opportunity for me to be successful because
sure.
I relish in performance, performing,
yeah,
and I really enjoy it. But I felt like the only way I'm really going to be successful is if I'm willing to work, you know, twice as hard as everybody else, because, you know, there's a lot of people that do what it is we do and aspects of entertainment and doing performances, doing shows. So what separates you from everybody else? And that's kind of thinking about what I do and with community over competition and the type of, you know, events that we host that are, you know, local, and they push and express this local vibe and underground talent sort of deal. That's something that not a lot of people do anymore, which is what I've been doing for the last 4 years or so. So now that I've gained a bit of experience and I've been doing this now since 2018, you know, it's not a new thing anymore. You know, people know that this is what I do. So now it's time to start pushing towards, you know, becoming more professional, and it's not just a kid trick show anymore. You know, it's a presentation and it's an experience that people want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What rappers do you look up to vocally? And maybe like, are there ones that you wish you had the range of?
I would say that like there's a lot of rappers that I respect locally, and they all do something different. Like, and I have my own abilities, but there's things that I can't do that all of them can do that I definitely respect. Like LC the Monk, you know, he's one of my favorite local rappers. He's a good friend of mine. You know, we've done some songs together. You know, I have a very strong liking and respect for the guy. And I would say that, you know, I don't have the same type of range as LT. He has a very baritone type of voice. You know, he has dance capabilities. You know, his aura on stage is a lot different than mine. So like that's something that I find that, you know, he definitely, like, I would definitely say that's a very impressive aspect of his talent that I don't possess, but I definitely think it's super cool and I respect him for it. Or like, you know, another artist that I have a great relationship with, and I also have a great respect for how he puts out his music and how he creates his music, is Flozes. You know, Flozes is very technical, the way he delivers songs. He has like kind of a comedic aspect to his rap. You know, my things are very serious a lot of the time. I'm very, I use a lot of my aggression and my energy when I rap. And I feel like he's very chill and relaxed, and that kind of comedic flow, you know, is different than most people have. Or, you know, there's a few other artists that I really enjoy that maybe don't do rap, but they do like some kind of alternative form of hip hop, like Devin Bateson. He's going to be performing in the comedy show this week that we're having at Sankofa Dining. He does comedy, music, and rap all kind of fusion together, which I think is super, super, you know, insightful, and it's also really original and refreshing. You know, I would like that. You know, a lot of people do the same type of style, or they make the same kind of stuff as the current era, and you know, it's almost numbing. So it's really cool to see someone that does something so different and out there.
Yeah.
You know, those are just a couple of examples of artists that I know. I know plenty of other artists that I could delve into that have different skills and different capabilities. So I'm not taking away from anybody by saying those few names. Those are just, you know, a few examples. You know, I have a song with Alyssa DVM Music, and she's an incredibly talented vocalist. Can hit some very, very high notes that I could never dream of hitting. You know, but she has a lot of experience and training, and she's dedicated to her craft. You know, it's not like she just picks up the mic and sings. You know, she definitely is a very dedicated and talented artist nonetheless. So.
Totally. She definitely is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very great. She was at my festival too, and she came out to perform and, you know, had a booth set up, and she seemed to really enjoy herself. And, you know, we have a song entitled together called Larissa, which is a great song. It's one of my favorites that I've ever written. And, you know, she really performed very well on that song, and she gave me exactly what I was asking for in terms of performance. So, you know, I couldn't be more pleased with her contribution to that song.
Mm-hmm. Everybody listening, you should stay tuned, because we're actually playing that song at the end of this. So look
That's
forward
awesome.
To that. Yeah. Do you play any instruments? And if no, would you like to?
Yeah, I have a bit of experience playing instruments, actually. You know, I grew up playing trumpet and the saxophone and a few other you know, instruments. You know, I know a little bit of guitar and piano, but I'm not super fluid in instrumentation. especially like I did it during elementary school and high school. But ever since I've gone through high school, I haven't been too instrumentally inclined and had my own access to, like, I don't have my own trumpet anymore. So that's the unfortunate thing. But, it'd always be cool to have the opportunity to pick it back up and learn. I had never really come across that opportunity in the past, but I think if it were to become something that was available to me, I'd probably like to take it. Like, I have a, my producer is a guitarist. He's an electric guitarist. So, I've talked to him a couple times about, showing me some more guitar notes and giving me some more feedback on how to play the guitar and possibly learn a little more from him too.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Did you study music or take professional lessons?
No, I didn't actually. The only kind of studying I've done is I studied at Travis Entertainment Institute, and I took their entertainment management course. So they offer an entertainment management course. They offer a film study course and an audio engineering course.
Yeah. Would you like to like continue music education in the future?
Yeah, I definitely like I enjoy learning. Like when I went to the entertainment management course, we had like a music history class, we had an audio engineering class, we had like concert, like kind of the music industry. We were learning all different aspects. So for me, I feel like my musical education never ceases, and I'm kind of always learning how to kind of make myself more improved. And that's technically in terms of music, or also when it comes to how I present myself as an artist or as a brand, and those things are all through growth and time.
Totally. When did you start creating music?
I would say I started making like actual songs and recording in 2018. So, 2018, I kind of was going through a transition period of my life, and I decided it was time to really pick what I was gonna do and more so like look towards the future. And I was like, I have really almost like kind of like I have nothing really to lose to attempt this and try, because I've always wanted to. And it kind of started out slow, just like putting out a few songs here and there. But over the last 2 years, I would say in 2021 alone, I put out a whole feature-length album, which you did a I know you did an article on, called Mistakes. And I put out over 17 other songs that I was either that other singles or I was featured on, which was a pretty good year for me, in terms of going from 2020, 2021. We tripled over our statistics and our listeners, which I owe that not only to myself but to my team. I'm very grateful to everybody, that was part of the Mistakes project and everything else we've been doing. We're working on something new as well, but I'm not going to delve too much into that right now, because it's not coming until later this summer. But I will let you know I'm coming out with a new project in the future. So that's definitely, it's been recorded. We're just working on the way to deliver it to the public.
Oh, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's very on brand for J-Triggs. That much I will tell you. It's very on brand, very community over competition oriented. Yeah, the whole. And it's a very emotional album. It took me a lot of time to write, and me and my producer co-wrote these songs. He wrote the beats, and I wrote the lyrics, and we wrote them together, the song together, as co-writers and composers. And we spent a lot of time pushing the emotional aspect of my music and the fact that I tell a story. So we're really trying to bring that story to life here in this project.
What was the music scene like? You were born and bred Hamiltonian, just for anyone listening. What was the music scene like in Hamilton growing up?
Honestly, when I was a kid, there wasn't, I didn't really focus too much on the hip hop scene, like when I was like 12 or 10, because I wasn't really involved in it. But like, I noticed there's a lot of like alternative rock and like punk rock from this area. Like a band that I like was at my high school, like one of the bands I went to my high school was called Harlan Pepper. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
No, I
I went to
haven't.
West I went to Westdale, so they were kind of a poppin' band when I was in high school. I don't know, I never even really like I wasn't really big on like local music too much until the last 4 or 5 years, when I started like kind of getting involved in the local scene, which is one of the things I really love so much about, what I've been doing as a host and as an artist, is that it has allowed me to get involved in the community too more. When I was a kid, I did a lot of kind of social justice things, getting involved in leadership and training programs and like programs at Pinky Lewis and Kiwanis Boys and Girls Club. But that was only kind of the tip of the iceberg. So it's great now as an artist, I have a lot more access to the community and a lot more people listen to me when I talk. So when I do something and I do something for the community, like when we raised, non-perishable goods for Living Rock this past summer, it was a great turnout. We were able to get a lot of non-perishables. Even the people from Living Rock were able to come out. So, moving forward, I'm looking to do lots more events. And, that's why I started focusing primarily on these weekly showcases for the Throwback Thursday at St. Copa Dining, because it's kind of a way to target and get people, coming out and seeing me on a regular basis. And then when I'm promoting other events, they'll want to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. What do you think about the Hamilton scene today? And do you see any major differences?
I see lots of differences. I see lots more like encouragement and support. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of artists supporting one another. I see a lot of, posters around the city now. There's posters everywhere now. You see mm-hmm. people sharing them, and yeah. You see a lot of people at shows. A lot of the artists that come out to my shows, a lot of the people that come out to my shows are other artists mm-hmm. that come out to support. And I do have some fans, but I would say the majority of people that are coming out to support are other artists that, have been part of shows or want to be part of shows or just are looking to get involved more in the local community,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's fantastic. Who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
Yeah. There are lots of talent. I think everybody deserves spotlight, but mm-hmm. There are lots of local talented people that I interact with, especially, like one artist that performed at my 905 festival. She's local, but she's from Burlington, but still pretty much close. Her name is Kristen Prince. She's a mm-hmm. saxophonist. Mm-hmm. She's unbelievable. She's unbelievable if you saw her on the saxophone at 905 Fest.
Yeah,
she's crazy good, super talented. Or, there are a lot of talented, Boxcar Benny, he was singing at my 905 Fest as well.
Mm-hmm.
The guy has an unreal voice. He sounds like Johnny Cash almost, I would say. It's actually really crazy. I never heard him sing before live, so like when I got him out to the festival, it was great to have him. I'm hopefully going to work with him on something very soon. I don't think a lot of people really know enough about him for how talented he is.
Mm-hmm.
But those are some examples, or another artist that I'm a big fan of is Young Vinny. He's a good friend of mine. He's a talented artist. He really puts a lot of work in. He put out a lot of content in the last couple of years. We have a couple different features, actually. One song called Lottery Pick and one song called On My Way, which are both, I released both of them last year as singles. And they did very well. He does a lot of hooks. And it's like more like singing type, R&B, hip hop mix with like more of a new school fusion to it, which is super cool. I don't really have the ability to do those kind of like auto-tune bars and that kind of stuff. So it's great to see, the versatility that other artists possess that maybe I don't have that they can bring to a song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Are there any of these artists or specifically local artists that you'd love to collaborate with in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Like I was saying, I actually had reached out to Joshua Pasmo Music as talking to him about doing some background vocals for me, and we're definitely hopefully going to do something in the future. We haven't been able to figure it out. Same with Boxcar Benny and myself. I've been so busy with these events and these weekly organizations that I'm doing and all the different events that I'm doing. It's been super difficult to buckle down on music when, I had my album, kind of the project that I've been working on planned out and the recording sessions and everything like that planned out. So I got all that aside, and now I'm working on all these events. So I've been kind of bouncing back and forth, but there's a whole bunch of artists, I really like to work with. One of my friends, he's a Spanish artist. His name's Milo Mills. He's performing on the 24th at St. Copa Dining. We're hosting another showcase there, which is going to feature a lot of local different acts. We have hip hop, we have comedy, we have some musicians coming out. It's going to be a good time. But the first event that you gotta definitely check out is the comedy event we're doing next week with Mike Mitchell, Adam Bateson, and Devin Adam Bates and Devin Bateson. Mm-hmm. That is next Thursday on St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh,
so that's at St. Copa Dining from 9 to 10 PM. We're mm-hmm. gonna have three different comedians. So we'll open up with Adam Bates. Devin Bateson will follow, and Mike Mitchell will close, and we might have some special guests come through as well. But that starts at 9, so people can actually get those tickets on Eventbrite,
mm-hmm.
or you can come at the door, and it's $10 at the door. But if you go on Eventbrite, it's only $5, so you can check that out on my Instagram. if you want to find that at KTrix905 and find all the information about that event on St. Patrick's Day.
Exciting. Cool.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I'm super hyped to see these Canadians, come out and do some sets. You know, I haven't seen a comedy act in a while since mm-hmm. the 905 Fest.
Yeah.
There's been some opportunities, but I haven't been able to go out just because of everything I've been doing with my internship and with my events. So, you know, it's great to have an opportunity to bridge out and do a kind of different event. And that's what I was talking about when I was saying to you about bridging out and doing less hip hop only or less K-Trigs only events and doing, you know, kind of something else, something different theme that gets people's attention and brings new people out and, you know, has a new kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone a single from K-Trix. Level Up is a song the musician released in 2021 about self-improvement, hard work, and moving on up.
Every verse he dropped, that's a keepsake. Ask my sister how she keeps faith. Run my race, be a peak chase. All the way from Mac down to Eastgate. Long way to go with my feet ache. Total fam, I gotta beat great. Cause if time is money, then I'm a cheapskate. Soon rappers move for my release date. Took 10 months trying to beat the case. These rhymes and pies never be replaced. Set a city on fire, let it gain the waste. Devil in a black dress, you got an angel face. At night I lay awake, wonder what awaits. Every double entendre, you get double take. But you know about a struggle and it's no debate.
I had a level of see me at level.
Yeah.
Where did these rappers? Ain't nobody checking them. Nobody about it, we bring in the accident.
Bring it.
Get in my way, you get somewhere to exit it. Yeah.
Never no hero, I could be your nemesis. Living your head and I don't pay a cent in it. Origin story like that book of Genesis. Now all the shorties want friendship and benefits. I got boss face, hoes and a feminist. Give him a second when I'm feeling generous. My generation, I've been a degenerate. Call him a menace who took his own medicine. I was a rook student, still city veteran. Always a rebel and that was so evident. I'll say if I was where I plan to settle it. Top of the class and I'm just getting better. All those who doubted now see me ahead of them. I'm the first person I need to be better than.
I'm the first person I need to be better than.
I had to level up, see me ahead of them. Words of these rappers, ain't nobody checking us. Nobody about it, we bringing the exodus. Get in my way, you get shown where the exit is. I had to level up, see me ahead of them. Words of these rappers, ain't nobody checking us. Nobody about it, we bringing the exodus. Get in my way, you get shown where the exit is.
For anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with the Hamilton-based hip-hop artist, art supporter, creator of 905 Fest, and host of Throwback Thursdays at Sankofa Dining, K-Trix, or Kevin Williamson. So we just came back from playing Level Up, a single you dropped in 2021. How long did that take to write?
Level Up actually was a song I wrote months ago. It's funny that, that song, it took me not too long to write, only a few sessions. Because what we do when we work in the kind of the studio is we build songs from the ground up. So, like, we'll build a beat, kind of a drum and bass and a guitar to go with it. And then I'll kind of write to it as I go. Or I'll have a kind of a pre-created idea.
Sure.
But actually, we made these songs back in 2020. So I had made these songs a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't fit in the timing to put them out because I had this working on the Mistakes album and a lot of the other singles. So what happened was I had created a whole bunch of songs and then I kind of narrowed down what was going to be on my project and what wasn't. And those two songs were kind of more of they stretch into the different kind of style I'm bringing in this new project. So I thought they would be a perfect kind of start at the end of the year. So I put them out on December 31st, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually the last two songs I released. I haven't released any music since then. So I've been kind of patient and kind of holding back a lot of the music that I have for my new project. And that was kind of my last kind of to give people something to end the year off to kind of show them that this is what's coming,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Totally. Yeah. Where do the lyrics come from and what are they about?
Yeah, for Level Up, it's really, you know, about like pushing the boundaries of my style and, you know, the speed rap and the cadences. You know, I really, with my team, we really worked on expressing the, you know, the cadences and my type of style and how much energy I use and how aggressive my style is. So we wanted to bring a type of more energetic hype song that kind of speaks to people. And also the last, it kind of is reminiscent of the last year of my life, you know, kind of doing much better in terms of musical representation and streaming. And you know, my popularity has really gone up over the last year. So it's kind of been a level up sort of. That last year was kind of a level up for me too as an artist. So me and my team kind of put that together, and I thought of the lyrics, obviously. So that was kind of my way of expressing that accomplishment, kind of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, totally, yeah. Who did you produce that song with?
Yeah, so most of my music, and I'd say like 98% of my music now, mm-hmm. He produced the majority of my last album, and he produced both Motive and Level Up. His name is Know My Music. Mm-hmm. So Know My Music is my beat maker and producer for all intents and purposes. He handled the Mistakes project, and he's handled every single song that I've released since then. So that would include Larissa as well. He created the beat. So basically I write all the lyrics and he writes all the beats, and we write them together in the studio, and we make everything together mm-hmm. with the team. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel as though? Yeah. Oh, totally. Do you feel as though he has like a hold on who you are as an artist and like knows sort of instinctively what you're looking for in a song?
Well, I think that's exactly what it is. You know, we spent the last year kind of honing what it is I want to sound like and mm-hmm. what it is I'm going to sound like going forward. And that was a big part of, you know, Mistakes and, you know, finding me the right type of sound and the right type of beats to be making and for me to be rapping on and making songs over mm-hmm. because we want something that really pushes the message and gets the words across, and so people can really hear my lyrics. You know, mm-hmm. We don't want people to get lost in the instrumental only, because there's a lot of beats and a lot of artists that rap, but you get really caught up in the instrumental. That's not what I want. I want people to really hear me. So that's what we were focusing on, and that's why I've spent so much time with the delivery and the actual creation and writing and curating of this project, the next project I'm putting out. Because it was very important for me to sound the way that I want to sound and for every song to be delivered and executed differently. Mm-hmm. Because each song in this project is really different. Just like with Mistakes, you know, I don't like to make everything that sounds the same. Mm-hmm. It's a story to be told. So, you know, there's an introduction and then there's a build and then there's a conclusion that kind of ends off the project and kind of it culminates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does he make all of your beats as well then?
Yeah, he does all of my producing and beat making. Yeah, Know My Music. And, you know, he's a very talented artist. He works with a whole bunch of different local artists as well, not just myself. But recently, we've been working together, you know, almost exclusively on my beats. Like, I don't really have a lot. I don't have anybody else that really produces any of my beats. Mm-hmm. I have mainly just Know My that works on my stuff, because I found someone that really understands my style and my the type of music I put out. So, you know, working together to create that and mature that style is, you know, how you improve.
Yeah, well, that's lucky. I mean, that's hard to find.
It is. And I'm very grateful and very lucky to have, you know, the type of team I do at my side. And it's not just Know My, you know, Brody at Because Design Matters does a great job with all the media and graphics and video footage and all the kind of promotional content we do. That's all, you know, me and Brody work on that together, but he does all like the filming and editing and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah. At the end of this interview, we'll be playing Larissa, a single featuring Alyssa DVM. When did you connect with Alyssa?
I connected with Alyssa last year, and it was actually about performing in my festival. Mm-hmm. So I connected with her about performing in my festival. And that was really the main reason for connecting with her. And then after, you know, we had determined that she was definitely able to be part of the festival, I had spoken with her about doing some music together. And then I had sent her the audio file. Like, I had written the song Larissa and recorded it myself. And then I had asked her if she would be interested in providing some background vocals for it. But how I originally connected with her was because I was interested in looking for some new performers for 905 Fest. Because the first year, I had lots of different performers, like from the arts background, whether it was, you know, spoken word, hip hop, rock, So I wanted to kind of mix it up and bring some more different type of acts that I didn't have the first year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Did you two have the same vision for Larissa?
As Alyssa does, or in terms of like level up and like the same kind of concept. Is that what you mean?
Oh yeah. Like, did you and Alyssa have the same vision for the single? Did you sort of, you know, did you have the same idea for what that single would become?
Yeah. Well, the way I kind of did it was I had written the song already and then I had showed her the song and mm-hmm. I was like, yo, this is what it's about. You know, it's about my sister, Larissa. She just turned 18 this past September. So we released the single on her birthday. And then what I asked her was kind of to do like some sort of background vocals for me and then provide me with a bit of ambiance. And then at the end of the song, I asked her to kind of write her own little outro, mm-hmm. which I thought, you know, she did a really great job in the way she wrote and delivered her lyrics. Mm-hmm. I thought they were very well done. And the song itself is very complete by that. And it kind of ties it all in together very well. We definitely agreed on the vision for the song. You know, I had ran by the concept and she listened to it. And then she was able to kind of take it from there because not only does it apply to my sister, but like if you have your own sister or like, you know, you have a female in your life, it's like a young person that you know, are sort of a role model toward, it kind of can apply to you too. So, and you know, it kind of, it's just the song itself applies to me because that's my sister. So that's the way I see her. And I think anybody can kind of put themselves in their shoes and see it from their own perspective, which I think is what Alyssa did. And that's why she was able to write something so, like that connected so well with what I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did your sister react to it?
She really liked it. Yeah, she likes the song a lot, and she showed all her friends, and she really enjoyed it. I showed her the song when I had originally written it, mm-hmm. And like I had rapped it for her before I had actually recorded it, and she really enjoyed it, and it made her kind of cry, which I thought was great.
Yeah,
in a positive way, you know, she was very mm-hmm. happy about it. But then she actually heard the full version of the song, and you know, when you see the culmination of something like that, when you're working on creating something, you know, every song for me is so different. So I really like that song because it's so different from a song like Level Up, you know, but the lyrics still really hold true for either one in terms of the message that I'm trying to get across to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. You released quite a few songs last year in 2021. Do you have a favorite?
Actually, I would say it's Larissa, Our Hometown. Mm-hmm. You know, Larissa's probably one of my favorite songs I ever got to write because it was a super meaningful song for me to write. And, like the process of writing it made me, you know, it made me very happy. And like, you know, like my mom, it's funny because my mom, when she hears some of my songs, she'll be like, oh, that one gives me goosebumps. And and it's funny because every time that she says that, the song does super well in terms of like popularity and how much people like it. So I think it's interesting that like the songs like that, and then they do the same thing to me too. It gives me kind of goosebumps when I hear it. So a song like Larissa or a song like Hometown, I really like Hometown as well. That was a song I put out in July of last year. And that's about the city of Hamilton because again, it's really on brand for me. You know, I'm all about the city and promoting the city and repping where I'm from. And you know, I always talk about the city of Hamilton and being locally born and bred. And I always talk about my family and how important they are. So those kind of two songs being very close to home and very important songs for me really make sense as to the type of artist I am and the type of music I create.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. We talked about this a bit earlier, but for anyone who's just tuning in now, you just recently became the host for a weekly live music night at Sankofa Dining called Throwback Thursdays. Can you tell me a bit about what that's going to look like or what it has been looking like?
Yeah, so at Sankofa Dining, which is downtown Hamilton, so 92 Jackson Street East, just off of John in Jackson area, not too far from like the Go Center.
Mm-hmm.
You can see this little spot. It's a club / like restaurant called Sankofa Dining. So we have DJ Shan and DJ Grind Abrasion there. They're gonna be playing throwback tunes. I'll be hosting. So this starts, we have from 8 p.m. until about midnight. A little after that, we have the music, so they'll be DJing upstairs, and then we'll have DJing downstairs as well, so you can come in. But if you want to come in even at 5 p.m., you can come in for dinner. So for dinner for people, you know, not only can you come for music, but if you want to come for dinner, you can get $1 per wing, with the purchase of an alcoholic beverage. So that's a great deal too, if you want to come in at 5 or 6 and have some dinner and then stay and hang out with me, because I usually get there when things start and I'm start hosting around 8.
Mm-hmm, totally. How did you become a part of this? How did this opportunity come up?
Oh, yeah. So I had done an event in December at Sankofa Dining that went really well, the Underground Vibe Show. We did the 4th Underground Vibe Show in a row. So since 2018, not in a row, because we didn't have one. We had one in 2020 during the COVID pandemic, which you knew about. Mm-hmm. And then 2021 was our 4th one. So after bringing the Underground Vibes showcase back for the 4th year, I wanted to bring something a little different, a ritual for the people of Hamilton. You know, this Throwback Thursday, I'm hoping for it to become, and I'm, bringing people, that are interested in performing. We got some local comedians coming out, so we're bringing out all kinds of local different acts, to celebrate this Throwback Thursday. And that's kind of what is getting people out. We had Throwback Thursday at the first Thursday this month, and then we followed it up the next Thursday. So, we just kind of started doing this. It's only the first month. So we're just starting to gain some traction. So that's why I wanted to get on here and talk to you about it, because I know, your station, you have some popularity and people know who you are. So I thought it'd be great to come on here and talk about it and let people know, we have a lot of great local acts involved, with Adam Bates, Devin Bates, and Mike Mitchell. There are 3 comedians that are going to be out there. I did want to say a huge thank you to Sankofa Dining and Bright, for being a part of this in partnership with myself, and because Design Matters and Grind Abrasion, they're all involved in this. Grind does DJing for us, and because Design Matters handles all of our promotional material. So mm-hmm. Shout out to them for all being involved and like being a part of this. It doesn't happen without everybody involved. But I wanted, as the manager of the event and the host, I wanted to get on here and talk about it and get people excited, because we have all this kind of variety coming out. We have music, we have throwback tunes, we have comedy, we have wings, so make sure to come on down. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite for $5, or you can get them at the door for $10.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it. And you guys should go check it out, grab a ticket. So you're also working as an intern at Mango Tree Music Corp. How has that been going, and what are your duties there?
Yeah, it's been going great. I'm really excited to be learning, at Mango Tree, how to communicate in business better and how to gain more experience in the industry. And what I've been doing is mainly artist marketing. Mm-hmm. So I've been reaching out to radio shows for follow-up emails. I've been gathering information on print media, magazines, online radio, college radio, commercial radio, and going through that with my manager and learning how to follow up and reach out to people the right way to communicate on behalf of an artist. So I'm actually working with an artist right now. His name's Ranja, and he's a reggae artist from Toronto. So hopefully in the future I can work with you in terms of to get Ranja on your station to even talk about himself or to play some of his music. He's a reggae artist, and he's got a great story to tell. He actually has a song out right now called Mama Roof, which is dedicated to his mother. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great song. Definitely something you should check out if you haven't. Ranja, Mama Roof. That's an artist I'm actually promoting, right now, and doing artist marketing for as an intern for Mango Tree. So that's part of my job too, is, promoting him and getting him on some, getting people to play his music on radio stations and on podcasts and stuff like that.
Cool. Well, yeah, definitely connect me. I'd love to hear.
Awesome. I will definitely send you the link. That sounds great.
Cool. Do you hope to have like a future in artist PR or artist management in the future?
Well, that's kind of what I'm bridging toward, right? Slowly but surely, I've kind of been doing this for the last few years, and I love performing and getting on stage and making music, and that's a great part about what I do. But I've also noticed I'm pretty talented at event management and mm-hmm. artist management. And maybe if it's not artist management, more event management that I want to get into.
Sure.
I think that is more of the big thing for me, is because I'm good at planning and executing. And over the last few years, I've handled all the booking and all like the permitting and all the equipment and, managing all the acts, managing all the vendors, putting all the sponsorships together. I've handled all that for 905 Fest. I do all that myself. On setup, takedown, that kind of stuff. So, looking at that, I'm really kind of looking at it in a big picture over the last few years as to, you know, where I want to go in my life. And that was the reason, one reason why I went back to school, to kind of get the background, entertainment management, and see, you know, what the industry is all about. Is this something I really want to get into? And now I'm really starting to get into it with these weekly events, you know, and I'm hopefully going to bridge into doing more events every week and not just these Thursday events. But, you know, definitely come and check out the Sankofa Dining Weekly Thursday, Throwback Thursday I'm hosting. And, you know, don't miss that. You can keep updated at ktriggs.ca or at ktriggs905 on Instagram, and you can find more details there.
Mm-hmm. Sounds fantastic. How do you feel as though your style has changed since you first started making music?
I feel like when I first started making music, I was a little more one-dimensional. Like, I thought I could only rap over, like, boom-bap beats, like old-school rap beats. Mm-hmm. But now I've kind of found a healthy medium where, you know, you have songs like Larissa, which have that old-school, drum and bass, but they have that newer type of guitar. And, like, the same with Level Up, right? So, like, these kind of newer style songs that I'm doing that have the old school kind of feel still bring that nostalgic aspect to my music, but aren't overplayed and outdone, because, you know, the 90s boom bap style of drum and bass has kind of become not overplayed, but not as popular now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. What are your goals for 2022?
Definitely. For 2022, I have I'm not concrete set goals, but I've set some goals for myself. You know, I'd like to build on my 2021 performance on Spotify and iTunes. I'd like to build on that with some better statistics. My team and I are working towards, you know, marketing and campaigning my singles and my songs in a more, effective way to do that. And that's something we're working on behind the scenes. I've also set goals for myself to accomplish and bring more people to this weekly event at Throwback Thursday, which was, you know, I wanted to start doing more events and figure out how to go from hosting events every 3 months to hosting events every week, or hosting events every, you know, 2 weeks, you know, and this is what I'm doing now, right? And that's part of the goal, right? I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. So that was my goal for the last year or so, to figure out how to go from hosting an event every month or every 2 months, you know, hosting the Underground Vibe Show, hosting my festival. That's fine. You know, I hosted the Underground Vibe Show in December, hosted the festival in August, and I did like a show for my birthday in October. So that's cool. You can do a show every month or two. But if I'm going to really make this into a career and into a, you know, something I want to do for the rest of my life, I have to be able to host my events every week, or maybe more than one event every week if it's necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, and that depends on the level I want to get to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just kind of working on figuring out the formula for, you know, hosting events myself every week with my small team that I have here. And then slowly we're looking to build and bring more people in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What can we look forward to seeing from you?
You can look forward to the show called You Better Ask Somebody. That is a show I am hosting. That is a show I am performing in. The show will be hosted by actually LT the Monk. Mm. He'll be hosting with music by DJ Grind Abrasion. We'll have performances from KP on sax. We'll have performances from Murr Hip Hop, Flozis, Ellison Daz, who is a comedian. We'll have performances from Milo Mills Music, Buddha Abusa, and we'll have a performance from a couple special guests as well. LT the Monk is going to be hosting, so you might see him do a thing or two. He might come and drop one or two songs for us, which will be great. And then we'll also have performances by myself and Tyrex, which is another hip hop artist here in the city. So that's really great to look forward to. You can get those tickets on Eventbrite, and you can find all the details at ktriggs905 on Instagram. That's March 24th at Sankofa Dining. So that's another Throwback Thursday event. So that's a cool event. We got a great lineup of things coming for you in the next few weeks. I created this new showcase with my media partner, Brody, at Because Design Matters, called If You Don't Know, You Better Ask Somebody. And it's kind of about this culture, the Hamilton hip hop culture. You know, if you don't know, you better ask somebody, that we're, you know, really creating a culture here. We're creating a community, a scene that is to be recognized and, you know, remembered.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go, guys. Check that all out for sure. And thank you so much for talking to me tonight, Kevin.
Thank you for having me, Sarah. It's always great speaking with you. And, you know, hopefully I can have you out to one of these events to check it out. And, you know, maybe we can talk about that.
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm looking forward to all that. Looking forward to see how it turns out. And everybody listening, you can find all the info about Kevin's events at KTriggs905 on Instagram. And you can go listen to his music as K-Triggs on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever streaming service you prefer. And we're going to wrap up this interview with another single from K-Triggs, Larissa, featuring Hamiltonian pop singer-songwriter Alyssa DVM, is a single about K-Triggs' sister and how proud he is of her journey into adulthood.
Hey guys, this is K-Triggs, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air at Indie 101.5.
In my head, always telling me to slow down. Conscious of the karma, cause you know it always goes round. Hamilton, my city, y'all, I do it for the hometown.
Time went fast, can't believe my sister grown now. She became a woman, and I hope you know I'm so proud. Will be everything and more, I never had no doubt. Big brother be a rolling stone, he don't like to listen. Often do it wrong before I made the right decision. Hoping you can take a second, try to heed the wisdom. Yes, I got regrets that ain't nobody need to live with. Yeah, I'm sorry for the burdens that you carry. If the weight's hard to hold, better know I'm there to share. I know I wasn't perfect, living with a single parent. Always stay strong, gotta give yourself some merit. Larissa built different with a spirit, that's the rarest. I'm often overbearing, so I get you were embarrassed. Told her we a pair, so every second's what I cherish. Women look in mirrors, always asking who the fairest. Who the fairest, yeah. Used to say, when it come to me, you've been see-through. Now being here is something I just gotta see to. Don't be losing faith because of people who deceived you. Know the hardest thing is that we never get a redo. Victim of the spoken art, causing wounds and open scars. I welcome it with open arms, yeah. Deck stacked against me, they still wonder how I hold the cards, yeah. Never got the first word, but I swear that last laugh is ours. Went on my horizon after going down a path of loss. Took too many chances, now I know who really paid the cost. Yeah, think I'm hard-headed, cause the dreams are far-fetched. Knew me back then, now we in the long stretch. What's a clean slate if you could never start fresh? If you take the easy route to find success, better know it's hard-pressed. Broke a couple hearts and someone said I'm heartless.
Broke a couple hearts, yeah, they say I'm heartless. But I just need a break, yeah, I just need a break. We heard a true spark when I look up. See your face in the stars. Don't know if I'm doing this right. Just wanna give you this life. This life.
Live from Mohawk College in Hamilton, you're listening to Indie 101.5 FM. CIOI.